The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi. As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one Father in heaven. Do not be called Master. You have but one Master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord. I don't know which parts of this you may have issues with, so it's kind of hard to preach it. But I trust that your investment in, say, reading the scriptures and trying to integrate them into your life, that you know that you have me as a resource to help you with it. So my first move this morning would just be to get myself off of the hook, and then let you guys do whatever you want to do, right? Let you guys figure the rest out for yourselves. I mean, you know, call no one on earth your father. I've actually never asked anyone to call me father. So you call me father as an act of faith. And I think because culturally that's what we do. I've never presumed to put myself in the position of fatherhood, except that the church asked me to embody this role as a spiritual father. But if somebody does not experience me to be their father, I do not force them to say anything about me, right? There's, and they say, "Hey, you over it." It's an appellation, right? It's not. It doesn't really affect me one way or another. So I'm trying to get myself off the hook by saying I'm not asking anyone to call me father. But the reality also is that I believe it's in his letter to the Ephesians, but St. Paul himself, right? So St. Paul, who is writing before this is written down, after it's said, but before this is written down, St. Paul is calling himself father. Says, I am your father. So in that sense, right, I'm also getting myself off the hook. So what is at stake here is that Jesus is attacking, for our benefit, self-exaltation. And we will use anything and everything to get what we want. And here we see this is like the stuff of religion. I don't think it's religion proper, but it's the stuff of religion. And I can say stuff of religion because it's what is being used by these people to get what they want. And they want popularity. They want prestige. They want power, and they have no qualms there using the things of God for those purposes. We just have to look at what we do and ask why we do it in order to allow this passage to have its full effect on us and its intended effect on us. And this is, I mean, these closing lines in these pericopes, they come thick and fast, and I think they're fantastic for us to kind of jolt us out of our sense of complacency. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And what I'd say is this is not, say, it's not anything except for an outworking of the particular action. So it's not like God is coming at the end to punish and say, okay, you've exalted yourself, I'm going to humble you. You've humbled yourself, I'm going to exalt you. It's actually in the very act of exalting myself that I am wiped out, that my life means nothing, because it means nothing except that which I pursued. So if I'm going after popularity, great. And I've received my reward when I'm popular and I have everybody's acclaim. But how long-lasting is everybody's acclaim? And what value really does it have? It's worthless, virtually worthless. Okay, but when I humble myself, when I turn over my entire life to God, then whatever gains I make are eternal. And the rewards, although they may not be visible to anybody, the rewards likewise are eternal. They're that long-lived, they're eternal. And they're of infinite value. So, which way are we going to go? We can use the things of religion and everything else besides, but we can use the things of religion for these kind of worldly gains, which are not worth anything, or we can invest ourselves legitimately in the things of God and see good fruit now and through the ages, eternal, right, of eternal significance and consequence. All this passage does for us, if you go back and read it again, is that it puts Jesus at the very center of our hearts and lives. It puts God at the very center of our hearts and lives. And by so doing, it displaces us as the very center of our hearts and lives. That's all it is. So we do today here in this Mass liturgically what we have to do the whole of our lives. Come to Jesus, surrender ourselves to him, abandon ourselves to him, give him, make the offering of ourselves, of our hearts and our lives to God through and with and in Jesus, receive from God his blessing, right? The food we eat that transforms every aspect of our hearts and lives, and then go forth and live that life of blessing that God is animating, that God is enacting. That's our whole life. It's not simply something that happens here. It happens whenever we turn to God in prayer, and it's meant to have an effect through and through wherever we go, whenever we go there. So keep on at it. It can be frightful to hear some of these challenges that Jesus issues us, but we can persevere because he is blessing us. He is enabling us to make this offering of our hearts and lives. He has made it before us. The total self-gift that gives us life and strength to follow him no matter where he leads today.